Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
Let's get rocking!
It's time for the Metal Groove.
We're fighters for truth, justice, and the American way.
A podcast dedicated to music.
Party on, dude!
Extreme close up!
Here's your metal host.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Tombstone Josh.
I'm your Huckleberry.
What is up, everybody? Welcome in to a brand new episode of the Metal Groove Podcast. My name is Tombstone Josh. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me. You are tuned into the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. Today on the show, I want to talk some news. I want to play a brand new song by Rival Sons. And then I think this week I'm going to wrap up the show talking about some grunge music. A couple weeks ago, I did an episode about nu metal. Got some good feedback on that episode. I enjoyed it. So I think this week I'm going to do the same thing, but this week we're going to be talking about grunge. I think that's a good time. My band, Time and Pressure, played over the weekend. We had two awesome shows, two great venues we played at. Had a lot of people turn out, come sing, dance, have a good time with us. It was a really good time. We played Smells Like Teen Spirit, which kind of was the inspiration behind me wanting to do a grunge episode. So I think I want to talk about grunge music, extend the question out there to you guys, tell me which bands you like, prefer from that particular era, if you're a fan of the era. But also, I think I'm going to go ahead and rank, you know what I mean? Of all the bands that came from that era, we know who the big four are. You could almost say big five, but, I think I'm going to rank them. I'm going to tell you which one's my favorite out of all of them, and we're going to go from there, man. So I think it's going to be a fun episode. I'm looking forward to it. But let's talk about some of that good. Let's talk about the good stuff that's happening right now at the Thrill Me Podcast Network. We have brand new episodes of the Haunters Podcast. They all talk about going down to Halloween Horror Nights, and they rank the houses and talk about them. Really, really fun episode. Good stuff. I suggest checking it out on YouTube. If you're not a fan of us on YouTube yet, please go over there and give us some likes and subscribes, because that's where the best content is, I think. Because just seeing our faces on the screen is funny enough, but there's always some great info. There's some big brains behind those goofy faces, and I think you guys will enjoy it, man. So come on over, hang out with us there. But all of the podcast streaming formats, anywhere you find podcasts, you can find the Review at Rob Show, Mr. Wonderful Show, Improper Guidance, Haunters Podcast. We're all there making noise, sharing some news, talking about all the cool stuff in the world. But yeah, Thrill Me Podcast Network, man. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. Make sure you please come over and support us. Hey, man, T Public Store. There's some badass t-shirts out there as well, man. So come out, rep the brand, and let's dive straight into some news. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of news out there, and that's why I wanted to start the show off with news this week, I think, is because, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Now, last week on the show, I talked about, hey, something's cooking with Blink-182, and it felt like the next day they announced they're doing a tour, they're all back together again. And they're going on tour. Bad news is, though, it's kind of they have a new song out called Edging. It's a good one. It's typical Blink-182 stuff. So that's cool. Go check out that song. I'm not going to play it on the show. But go check out that song. Also, they're trending for another reason, and it's because these tickets are outrageous. Standing room ticket, I think I saw, was $1,800 or something like that. Insanity. I don't know if they're planning on us funding all of the UFO exploring that Tom wants to do, but holy monkey. That's a lot of money to go see Blink-182. Long story short, I will not be paying that much for a ticket. But hey, more power to them. Another bit of news that dropped last week, I talked about that was that like a rumor or a hint has officially been, well, an insider source has confirmed this. But now it is seemingly becoming official because Motley Crue has an announcement coming up this week they're hinting at. But it does seem like it is becoming more and more likely to happen that John 5 will be filling in for Mick Mars for the Motley Crue tours. Like I said last week, that is some awesome news. I mean, hey, I'm all for it. I like John 5. I mean, I like Mick Mars. I like Motley Crue. Even though Nikki Sixx blocked me on Twitter. Come on, man. whatever. But anyways, I like John 5. I like Motley Crue. I think it's a good mixture, man. They got that good. I think it's good. I think it's going to be really good, man. I think that's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be a big good fit. You know John 5 will do the music justice and maybe if not even add to it. So like you guys know, I'm a giant fan of Buckethead. When Buckethead joined Guns N' Roses, man, he did justice to the songs, but he also added his touch to it. So I'm kind of looking forward to that same thing from John 5 in that respect. But yeah, we'll see how it goes, man. Pretty excited. Hopefully it does come to fruition, and that is the news that they're announcing. Man, more power to him, man. Looking forward to that one. Now, see, if they come close, I know the ticket won't be outrageous. Me and my brother might have to go see that because he's a giant fan of both Motley and John 5. So good stuff there. Okay, Chevelle, they have a brand new album coming out soon. I played them on the show before. I'm a fan of Chevelle. I think they're an awesome band. I think they have a great touch, a great sound, and they have a lot of stuff written in the catalog ready to go. So after the Aftershock Festival, they were doing some rounds and stuff like that. He said the band has plenty of music all ready to go for the next LP, which would be the follow-up to 2021's. We have a whole bunch of music written now, and we're trying to put together another record for 2023, he said. So that's awesome, man. Good news. Good little bit of news right there from Chevelle. Another awesome little article I found. KK Downing will rejoin Judas Priest for the Rock Hall performance. So as we all know, Judas Priest is finally going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Good for them, man. They deserve it. They're one of those pioneers of metal from the 80s, man. So good for them. Judas Priest will be inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame via the Musical Excellence Award this year as their current lineup, plus former guitarist KK Downing and former drummer Les Blinks and Dave Holland. And now, for the first time since his departure in 2011, Downing has confirmed he'll perform with Judas Priest at the ceremony. Downing said in an interview, he's feeling pretty confident about the performance and hopes it'll make fans happy. I think we've probably got 8 or 9 minutes. I'm not going to go up there and break a sweat. The main thing is to represent the attitude and hopefully the legend of what Judas Priest is and has become and what it means to everybody who's been on that very long journey through the decades with the band. So that's awesome, man. Good for him getting up there. I think that's going to be a fun performance. I always look forward to Judas Priest rocking some stages. All right, here's a little bit of interesting kind of just random news I saw that I thought was funny, but a graphic artist is accusing Disney of ripping off his artwork for their Dutch hardcore band. All right, now, this has been a thing lately where artists are going after Disney because Disney is finding, I don't know how they're finding these things, but they have copied quite a few people. And there's a couple of lawsuits out there and a couple of accusations going on that Disney has been borrowing other people's images, and they're kind of like just like changing them up just a little bit to try and get away with something. But this particular thing, this is a weird one. But so Estonian graphic artist Midi has taken to Twitter to accuse Disney of ripping them off for a Werewolf by Night promotional poster. The original design by Midi was used for the Dutch hardcore band Born from Pain, and the Disney poster certainly has some similarities. Midi originally called Disney out with his below tweet showing that the Werewolf by Night poster was potentially traced and then edited. In his tweet, he says, "I might be crazy, but did Marvel just rip me off? I did this art for Born from Pain about 6 years ago. As a vector artist, I can tell that these rounded ends mean that the art was auto-traced and then edited. And if you look at the two, I'll go ahead and I'll reshare it on my Twitter. But if you do look at the images, man, they are super, super similar. And like I said, the lately Disney has had this this trend of copying some things, which is weird because it seems like they have the most amount of money behind them and they could probably just do anything art-wise. They can just get anything from anywhere. But it is kind of a weird trend that they've been, you know, called out a couple of times now for copying some stuff. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that. That should be an interesting route. I feel like the other thing that was copied was for something inside of one of the parks. And I think the guy actually did get a settlement from it, but that should be interesting moving forward. Next, this one right here I thought was kind of a funny story too because I'm not a fan of the band. And if you see the article and then you read the comments along with the article, it's freaking hilarious. But the name, this is from Metal Injection. Drunk Driver knocks out Power, ends Five Finger Death Punch show early. And the comments is just hilarious. You know, some of them are going on to say they don't support drunk driving and they are 99% against it. But this 1% of an instance was a good thing. It's just a weird situation all around. But the article goes on to say Five Finger Death Punch only got to play 8 songs during their October 15th show, in Utah. According to the guitarist, the drunk driver hit a transformer down the road and unfortunately, quotation marks around, unfortunately, knocked the power out. Salt Lake City started out as an incredible show with 20,000 fans. This was going off when a drunk driver hit a transformer down the road and knocked out the power for the whole area. One more reason not to drink and drive. You screwed up 20,000 people's day. That's what the guitar player's tweet goes on to say. It goes without saying, but we're going to say it anyway. Please don't drink and drive. It also has been an interesting weekend for Five Finger Death Punch live shows as vocalist Ivan Moody announced during the Colorado date that he'd be retiring from metal after one final album with the band. Five Finger Death Punch has yet to formally comment on the situation. In the meantime, you can check them out on tour with Megadeth. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Five Finger Death Punch. I do not care if this guy retires. I don't care if they stop doing music, to be honest with you. Maybe they can do some offshoots, maybe put something better together. I'm not going to go on a tirade about how much I don't like them, but I just think they're a boring band. They're not particularly for me. But yeah, if you do see that article, read the comments. There are some funny comments out there. Speaking of some good old school metal, we know that Pantera is getting ready to do a tour with some new members. So I found this article here. It says, Zakk Wylde says he has yet to learn to play the Pantera songs for the upcoming tour. Sounds kind of weird. It's kind of a weird thing right there. You kind of feel like it's a little clickbaity title. But anyways, Zakk Wylde is once again that said he is honored to take part in the upcoming Pantera tour. According to a report by Billboard, Wylde Benante, who's going to be the drummer, involvement in the project has been approved by the estates of Pantera. Zakk discussed his participation in the Pantera Celebration Tour. Wow, that's a lot of Asians going on right there. During his appearance on the SDR show, he said, I had nothing to do with putting the Pantera thing together. I'm friends with the guys. It'd be like if Noel Redding and Mitch Mitchell were going to do a tribute to Jimi Hendrix and they asked Eric Clapton, Eric, would you sing and play Jimmy stuff? We're going to put this tribute thing together. It's just like, of course Eric would do that. Just let me know when you want to do it. It's just like anything. Like when you do the Hendrix Experience, we do anything like that. It's just like, would the guys go out and honor Jimi Hendrix in any kind of way? Of course he would. He continued to say, yes, of course I'm going to be honored. Even if it was a festival they were putting together and they wanted Black Label to come up and have Phil sing and they were going to be doing all kinds of stuff with Lamb of God, Black Label, Anthrax. All the bands were going to play a Pantera song and Phil's going to sing. Of course we'd be involved. Zakk went on to clarify that he has yet to learn how to play the Pantera material despite the fact that he was very close friends with Dimebag. I don't know all of the songs, he said. If Dime had to play the No More Tears solo and Mama I'm Coming Home and Miracle Man, Perry Mason and Suicide Messiah, I'd be like, you must know Zakk's stuff. He would be like, no, I don't know any of his stuff. Zakk's my buddy, but no, I don't know any of his stuff. So I think it's going to be fine. Zakk Wylde's going to do, he's going to do perfectly fine with the material. So it's going to be interesting that he doesn't know any of this stuff, but I think he'll figure it out quickly or he'll be able to improvise to make it worthwhile. All right, now I'm going to end the show with my favorite thing that I saw, but I have one more article to read from you guys by... It includes some things that I'm interested in, and it's including a guy that I'm becoming a fan of. My brother just sent me a song of this guy's son's band, which is pretty good, man. He's, you know, the singer of that band sounds just like his dad, and that guy is Corey Taylor. He's becoming one of my favorite people. He doesn't hold back. He's very opinionated. He's an awesome guy. He always puts out good music. So, Corey Taylor, I'm a fan of you, sir. I think you're awesome. But Slipknot's Corey Taylor buys the rights to Famous Monsters brand, according to Rolling Stone. Slipknot frontman Corey Taylor has bought the rights to the Famous Monsters brand and will be relaunching the magazine, as well as using the name for making toys, producing films, and hosting festivals. In addition to Famous Monsters, Taylor and his business partner, owner of Mad Monsters magazine and Convection, also bought the rights to Captain Company and the life story of Famous Monsters founding editor Forrest Ackerman. The 48-year-old Taylor, who has had a lifelong obsession with horror movies, told Rolling Stone, our job is to build a foundation to bring Famous Monsters into the modern age while also honoring the legacy that came before. It's the whole reason that we were fans to begin with. Plans are for Taylor to digitize every issue of Famous Monsters and making them available to read for free. He also wants to reestablish a Famous Monsters convention where he hopes to pay tribute to Ackerman and founding publisher Jim Warren and celebrate the title's history. There are also plans to relaunch the magazine as an annual or biannual publication using editorial concepts from past issues in new ways. So that is awesome, man. Corey Taylor's bringing back Famous Monsters, and I like that he's making it an online free thing to read. Because, you know, I don't know how many people out there still buy magazines or newspapers or anything like that, but it looks like he has a good idea. He's doing it in the right way. looking forward to that, man. That should be cool, especially if they're going to be doing movies and stuff. I like some monster movies. All right, here we go. I'm finishing with my favorite thing that I saw today, which I think is hilarious, and it's also another post that if you look at the comments too, is freaking, it's phenomenal, man. I just love it, mainly because I love the band that it's about. But yeah, you should probably check this one out yourself. But LM Radio, on their Facebook page, posted, "On behalf of LM Radio, I want to apologize unreservedly for the song Glory Hole by Steel Panther that was played just after 2 p.m. on Sunday. This song, together with others from Steel Panther's catalog, was inadvertently backed up into our server following the cyber attack on our systems earlier. When an hour is short-circuited, the system automatically includes to fill the hour. Glory Hole was unfortunately the song picked by the system." Sounds like the system's got some good taste. "But we have immediately deleted all Steel Panther songs from our servers. I again apologize for this. We assure you that the content of that song does not resonate with who we are as a radio station or as individuals." That is freaking hilarious to me. If you read the comments, the people are hilarious in the comments. Steel Panther shared the article with a quote saying, "They say we're sorry, we say you're welcome." So yes, you are welcome. That is awesome stuff. Absolutely hilarious. And but yeah, it was pretty funny. In the comments, people were requesting, "Well, you like that song, you should play this song." And but yeah. All right, so that is the news that I have for this week. We're going to take a short break real quick while we play this brand new song by Rival Sons, an absolutely awesome killer band. They got a new album coming out, Avenged Sevenfold. Not Avenged Sevenfold. They do have a new album coming out. But Alter Bridge has a new song out as well. It's so many good albums out there. Lots of good bands putting out some new stuff. I'm super stoked for the new He Is Legend album coming out soon. Steel Panther has a new album coming out soon. Gotta love rock and roll, man. Gotta love it. Let's dive into this song right now. We'll be right back to talk some grunge. Hang tight.
X's and O's, fingers and toes. Now do you wanna kiss a dead man?
Welcome back into the show. That was a fun little song called Nobody Wants to Die by Dirty Honey. They always put out some absolute bangers, man. So good for them. Stoked, looking forward to their new music, man. So yes, let's dive into the theme or the topic for this week's show, and that is grunge music. Like I said, I've been playing some Nirvana and some Pearl Jam with my band lately. It's made me want to, and Alice in Chains, stuff like that. It's been made me want to dive into to the grunge style, the grunge era, because that was a pretty important time, you know, in music history. The way I think about it, or the way I at least look at it, is I used to have kind of like a grudge against grunge. That's kind of a weird pairing of words there. But, you know, grunge has always been said as the killer of 80s metal music, and I'm a giant fan of 80s music. So there was always kind of like that head-butting of, oh, man, if these guys weren't around, maybe the bands I loved would have stuck around longer or put out more music. But you know what? That's how music is, man. It comes full circle. Things happen for certain reasons, and, you know, if it wasn't for the punk rock scene, maybe we didn't get heavy metal, or, you know, if you didn't have old school rock and roll, maybe we wouldn't have hard rock and roll, you know, stuff like that. So it all comes around for a reason, and I think grunge does deserve its respect. And yeah, so I think I want to talk about that today. So what is grunge music, actually? I looked up the definition. Grunge, sometimes referred to as Seattle sound, is an alternative rock genre and subculture that emerged during the mid-1980s in the American Pacific Northwest, particularly in the Seattle region. Grunge fuses elements of punk rock and heavy metal, but without punk structure and speed. Okay. The genre featured the distorted electric guitar sound used in both genres, although some bands performed with more emphasis on one or the other. Like these genres, grunge typically uses electric guitar, bass guitar, drums, and vocals. Grunge also incorporates influence from indie rock bands such as Sonic Youth. Lyrics are typically angst-filled and introspective, often addresses themes such as social alienization, self-doubt, abuse, neglect, betrayal, social and emotional isolation, addiction, psychological trauma, and a desire for freedom. The early grunge music revolved around Seattle's independent record label Sub Pop and the region's underground music scene. The owners of Sub Pop marketed the style shrewdly, encouraging the media to describe it as grunge. The style became known as a hybrid of punk and metal. By the early 1990s, its popularity had spread, with grunge bands appearing in California, then emerging in other parts of the United States, and even in Australia. Building strong followings and signing major record deals, grunge was commercially successful in the early to mid-90s due to releases such as Nirvana's Nevermind. Several factors contributed to grunge decline in prominence. During the mid to late 1990s, many grunge bands broke up or became less visible. Some of the, you know, members had passed away. So that was kind of, so that's kind of grunge in a nutshell, man. It blew up in the mid 80s and then it kind of hit its peak at the beginning of the 90s and then fizzled out. That's kind of, I mean, if you look at it, they had a nice long run there. But that's kind of the typical tale of how music genres go, man. You have that big explosion where people dive into it immediately because it's something fresh and new. And then, you know, due to some factories, it kind of fades away. Now, it all depends on the musicians and the songs and how they stand the test of time. So, like, Nirvana themselves, they have definitely stood the test of time. You hear Nirvana stuff all over the place. So, I think whenever you think of probably the most popular, most powerful band to come out of that era, I think you have to go with Nirvana, man. So that's cool, man. The word grunge is an American slang for someone or something that is repugnant, and also for the word dirt. The word was first recorded as being applied to Seattle musicians in July 1987 when Bruce Pavitt described Green River's Dry as a Bone EP and a Sub Pop record company catalog as gritty vocals, roaring amps, ultra loose grunge that destroyed the morals of a generation. Although the word grunge has been used to describe bands since the 1960s, this was the first association of grunge with the grinding, sludging sound of Seattle. It is expensive and time-consuming to get a record to sound clean, so for those Northwestern bands just starting out, it was cheaper for them to leave the sound of dirt and just turn up the volume. So that is awesome, man. I appreciate grunge music for what it was. As a musician, I'm not going to say nobody is not good at what they do. So whenever you think of, Gosh, it's hard to say. It's hard for me to break down what grunge means to me because I do love some of the songs from that era. I do think some of the bands are awesome. But you don't look at, or at least I don't look at that era as where some of the most talented musicians came from. You know, like you're not going to have, you know, like your Eddie Van Halens or your John Bonhams or any of those musicians that just stand out as some of the focal points of being a class of their particular instrument. So no disrespect to the people that played during that time. Just to me, it doesn't seem like that era of awesome musicianship. So great songs, maybe just not incredible musicianship, which is probably what they wanted to be known for. They kind of just wanted to lurch and just play their songs and kind of just be a part of the vibe instead of trying to stand out. So it could have been the you know, their vibe just to begin with. But that's what I think of. I think of good songs, not particularly great musicians. And that's no disrespect to anybody right there. Rolling Stone noted that the genre's lack of clear definition. Robert Loss acknowledges the challenges of defining grunge, stated that while he can recount stories about grunge, they do not serve to provide a useful definition. Roy Shooker states that the term obscured a variety of styles. Stetson states that grunge was not a movement or a way to react to 1980s era metal pop. He calls the term a misnomer, mostly based on hype. Stetson states that prominent bands considered to be grunge are Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Mudhoney, and Hammerbox all sound different. So that's cool, man. That's cool. Also, another thing you can say about grunge is just like you could say about, you know, like Leopard Print or Leather for the 80s, grunge has their style, which I believe that's probably one thing I can relate with most when it comes to grunge is the style. It's kind of like the baggy, kind of loose, maybe the flannel, the jeans that might be torn a little bit. Just very, very casual t-shirts, kind of just like a messy look. Like you're not going for over the top. So I can appreciate the era of just fashion from the grunge, you know, that mid-80s is what I grew up with. I mean, that's the era that I grew up during. And so, yeah, I like that. That could be one of my favorite things about that particular time. All right, so whenever you think of grunge bands, who are the five big grunge bands? There had to be five, just like there's all, you know, like there's four or five of a certain area. You know, like you have Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax, Slayer of metal, you know what I mean? So you got to have those of grunge. So who are they? A lot of people say that they're Nirvana, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, and Stone Temple Pilots. Okay, so there is more of that era. Who are grunge bands? Just going through the list here, I mean, you have Mudhoney, you have Temple of a Dog, you have the Melvins, Screaming Trees, Bush, oh man, I forgot about Bush, Smashing Pumpkins, Silverchair, Candlebox, so many, Sonic Youth, man, look at all these great bands that have just been around throughout the years. I mean, you also have some that they have inspired, you know, there's some bands here called Seether, I didn't know they, you know, Creed, Puddle of Mud, Fuel, Stained, all of these bands. I mean, even the Foo Fighters could be considered grunge. Not only because of what Dave coming from Nirvana, but they also kind of earlier in the day, they kind of had that sound, man. But you got to think of bands like Blind Melon and the Pixins. And I mean, Nickelback was probably early grunge as well. Everclear, Collective Soul, just all those awesome bands from back in the day. I did find an article here of the 12 bands who are considered pioneers of grunge. I wanted to share with you guys before I gave my top five. I think I'm going to give my top five favorite bands of grunge. But first, let's dive into, just like any subgenre, it's impossible to name one band as the true originators of grunge, but you got to start somewhere. And no, it wasn't Nirvana. This is from Loudwire, by the way. Though they had an obvious impact on where the scene went. To put it simply, grunge was basically a blend of hard rock, punk, and metal. Every band who started doing it did a little bit differently. No two bands sounded the same or looked the same, despite the fact that it later became associated with flannel shirts. Of all the bands who were able to fall under the umbrella, the biggest of them all was to become Nirvana. And Pearl Jam only formed after Mother Love Bone frontman Andrew Wood died in 1990. I think I've talked about that on a previous episode as well. Some of the most pivotal grunge releases came out 30 years ago. Temple of the Dog, Mudhoney's Every Good Boy Deserves Fudge, Pearl Jam's 10, Soundgarden's Bad Motorfinger, and of course Nirvana's Nevermind. So we're going to look back at the beginnings of the Pacific Northwest scene and commemorate this moment in time that has become so significant. So 12 bands considered pioneers of grunge. Wow, we're going all the way back to 1997. Coming at number 12 here, we have The Wipers, formed by Greg Sage in 1977. Man, I'm not very familiar with them, but that's a They're from the Portland area, man. I might need to look into those guys. Okay, so we got Malfunction. That's pretty cool the way they spelled their name. Malfunction. They were formed in 1980. They're number 11 on the list. Coming at number 10, we got the U-Men. The U-Men were another eccentric and artsy punk rock band. Their attitude was fierce, and their live shows were borderline chaotic, man. I can see that. I can see that. Oh, hey, coming in at number... I think this is number 8 on the list. They don't have them numbered. But the Melvins, they were around in 1983. Melvins are perhaps one of the most frequently cited groups for discussing bands who influenced Seattle grunge. No matter how they try to deny the association, though they started out as more of a fast-paced punk band, they kind of brought together the grunge sound that that other people tried to replicate. Another band called Bam Bam from the 80s, the sludgy punk outfit Bam Bam, were formed in Seattle. Green River, founded in 1984. The band became known in Seattle for high-energy live performances. Soundgarden, one of the most successful Seattle bands. Soundgarden were formed in the earliest, so it's fair to call them pioneers of the scene. Chris Cornell, Hiro Yamato, and Kim Thaw formed the trio in 1984, which featured Cornell singing and playing the drums. They eventually recruited Scott Sundquist on drums, and later, of course, the thunderous Matt Cameron, so Cornell could focus on singing. Screaming Trees, from back in 1985, just like the majority of any other Pacific Northwest bands that formed in the 80s, Screaming Trees were influenced by punk, but they were also into psychedelic and blues, which translated into their own sound. Skinyard, Daniel House and producer Jack Endino formed Skinyard in 1985 and were later joined by Ben McMillan, who went on to form Guntruck before they all joined Soundgarden. That's cool, man. That's a pretty cool name. I like the name of that band, too. Here we go. Nirvana are generally the predominant band associated with grunge, but as we've pointed out, there are quite a few groups that started out before them. However, it is impossible to deny their importance of the scene. Kurt Cobain is an absolute legend. Band from 1998 called Mudhoney, following their disassociation from Green River, Mark Arm formed Mudhoney in 1988 and continued working with Brian Privat and Jonathan Poneman on Sub Pop Records. The single Touch Me, I'm Sick from the EP Super Fuzz drew a lot of attention to the label, though it remained a mostly underground entity. Sonic Youth became fans of the band and invited them on tour in the UK in 1989, which sparked a lot of interest in media overseas, man. Tad, a band from 1988, were another group early that signed to Sub Pop after it became an official record label. The group was established in 1988 after he worked on some of the material with Jack Endino while recording their debut album, God's Balls. That's pretty funny. Doyle recalled using unusual contraptions to sound effects, such as empty gas tank for the car, a hacksaw, a large brass tube that was used as a part of a microphone transmitter. So awesome, man. So that's 12 pioneers of grunge right there, man. That's a good list. If you want to go ahead on LiveWire, you can check out the whole article. Read about each one of those bands. All right, so let's go ahead and dive into who I think are my top five grunge bands from that era. Okay. So it's kind of like a jarble. They're all kind of like the same band to me, like as far as musicianship wise, like I was talking about earlier, they all have their own standout singles. I mean, when you think of albums, Pearl Jam's 10, Nirvana's Nevermind, Alice in Chains' Dirt, they all come to mind as the albums of that era, of the best albums in my brain of that era. So we'll probably just start with there. Probably coming in at number 5 for me, only because I forgot about them, and I do remember how much I used to listen to them back in the day, but let's go ahead and throw Bush in there at number 5. I really do like their sound. They kind of had a nice grungy sound, kind of like a dark sound to them. But they had some good hooks, man. They had some good songs back in the day. So at number 5, I'm going to go with Bush. At number 4, let's go Stone Temple Pilots, man. I feel like they didn't get enough love. Maybe they weren't quite grunge enough. Just because if you think of Scott Weiland's, you know, just the way he was, his kind of vibe, he might have been more of like a rock and roll kind of thing. But I think they get lumped in with that grunge sound as well. And they also had a lot of really, really great songs back in the day. So I'm going to go with STP at 4. At number 3, I'm going to go Soundgarden. Chris Cornell's voice is unmistakable. Their sound was just, you know, their sound was just powerful, man. They were such a badass band. They always had great music videos. Chris Cornell, yeah, man, amazing voice, man. Rest in peace. We'll go Soundgarden, number 3. So, I always do this. I feel like I always have a 1A and a 1B, but I think this will be a legit number 2 for me. I remember at the time, I just hated this band, man. For just because You think of the beef that Nirvana had with Guns N' Roses. I'm a huge Guns N' Roses fan, so I used to hate this band back in the day. I used to not like anything they did, and then, you know, I kind of grew out of my stupid, stubborn phase and come to realize them for the greatness that they are. I eventually became a huge, huge fan of Dave Grohl and Foo Fighters and everything he's done. And thinking of the stamp that Kurt Cobain left on the music industry, the legend that he is, the pioneer that he is, if he was still around, wow, could you imagine what the music scene would have been like throughout just the rest of the 90s and early 2000s? To think about that, it's incredible, man. And you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. Kurt Cobain, man, he's an absolute legend, genius of a musician. So I'm going to go Nirvana at number two. And I'm going to give props to who I have at number one, because like I said earlier, musicianship doesn't always come in. But Layne Staley, the singer that he is, the songwriting, Alice in Chains, is coming in at number one for me. I feel like I can play Dirt over and over and over, and it never gets old to me, man. So my band plays Man in the Box. We play Them Bones, you know, so many good songs over the years that's just inspired my drumming. But yeah, Jerry Cantrell on guitar, man, he's so phenomenal. His harmonizing vocals with Layne Staley, they're still out there doing it today, even though we lost Layne as well, which is a bummer. But Alice in Chains still out there killing it, man, still writing good songs, still putting out good music. They started out as a metal outfit, actually, you know, which I think is pretty cool. But yeah, I think I'm going to go Alice in Chains at number one. Probably my favorite grunge band of all time is going to be Alice in Chains. I dig them a lot, man. Props to Alice in Chains. So yeah, that is my top five grunge bands. If you want to let me know your top five grunge bands. I feel bad leaving Pearl Jam out, man. Maybe Pearl Jam could have been right there 5B, but I don't know. I mean, Pearl Jam had a few songs that I liked, but I wasn't really big into Pearl Jam like I was some of these other bands. And as far as giving credit-wise, you know, I think I'm going to go, yeah, I think I'll put them at 5B. But anyways, that's my top five grunge bands. Please let me know, you know, what your list is. If there's some I missed or some I left off, please feel free to let me know. Like I said, I wasn't a giant fan of the era, so I'm not very familiar with all the things going on with it, but I do know what I love, and I appreciated those bands. So good times, man, good times. That's the Metal Groove Podcast for this week, man. Good episode. Like I said, Thrill Me Podcast Network, man. Come over, hang out with us, watch some videos. That man, the Halloween Ends review by Zach and Brooke is some good stuff, man. You guys need to watch that. We have a lot of good things. My rant on Jeepers Creepers is on there. Our YouTube channel is where it is, man. It's where to be. Come over, give us a like and subscribe, man. Check out all of our shows on the network, man. And like always, I'm so glad and thankful that you guys are spending the day with me. I super appreciate it. And until next week, stay metal. We'll catch you guys next time. That's the show for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Hey, be a friend, tell a friend. Please like and share this and join us over at the Thrill Me Podcast Network on Facebook and YouTube. Be sure to check out Haunter's Podcast, The Review at Rob Show, The Mr. Wonderful Show, and Zach's Speakeasy as well. This incredible lineup is brought to you by the Thrill Me Podcast Network. And hey, until next time, stay metal.